Parshas Kedoshim begins with three mitzvahs, three commandments. One, you should be holy. Two, each person should fear his mother and father. I want to stop here and just, I think it's important to say, the word fear is not an exact translation. The proper translation of tiro is, it's called
awe.
But what it means is, awe means there's a reverence. You're not afraid of your parents. You revere your parents. Revere means that you... Revere means that you have a deep respect. That's the mitzvah. To have a deep respect. Reverence is like, I don't want to let the person down. I have a fear. I have a reverence for them. It's not a fear like, oh, you're afraid. It's important to understand that. But the point is, there's three mitzvahs. The first three mitzvahs of this week's parasha. Number one is be holy. Number two, have an awe and a reverence for your parents, father and mother. Oh, and notice, first it says mother and then father. It's important, we'll soon speak about it, but it's mother and father. Ish imoy v'aviv. And third is, keep Shabbos. Shall observe my Shabbos. Everything in Torah is precise. Thus, we must say that the fact that these three commands are stated together is also precise, indicating that they share a connection with each other. So it goes like that. The Rebbe says there's three steps. First, it's holiness. Then there is honoring and respecting your parents, and then there is keeping Shabbos. How does that work? As follows, chapter 2. In the present context, holiness means separation. As to the end of this Torah portion states, you shall be holy to me, and I have separated you from regular people. This verse emphasizes that Jews must be distinguished from the nations of the world. Reflected by Moshe's request, I and your people will be distinguished from every person on the face of the earth. Holiness means separated. What does that mean? Shabbos is a holy day. Why? Because it's a day that's separated from the rest of the day of the week. It's removed. It's distinguished. It's special. It's an island. It's a removed. It's holy. That's what holy means. When we marry somebody, you marry a wife, you say, I'm making you holy unto me. Why? Because now she's separated from everybody else. She belongs to me. She's not like any other lady. We belong to each other. There's a separation here in how we look at marriage. Same thing with, in general, what does it mean when God says you should be holy? What does it mean? What do you do? You walk around some certain garb? What do you do to be holy? It means, remember that you are separate, you're different, you're distinguished from all people. When must it be emphasized that separation is necessary? Only when matters appear the same externally. Similarly, the command you shall be holy does not refer to the observance of the Torah and its mitzvahs. That is obvious, since from the outset the nations of the world have no inherent connection to these practices. As it is written, tells his words to Yaakov, he has not done so for any nation. Instead, the command refers only to permitted matters, eating, drinking, doing business, and the like. In other words, activities in which Jews outwardly appear similar to other people. Concerning these, the Torah commands you shall be holy. Even regarding such matters, the Jews' conduct should stand out as different, right? I remember many years ago, I thought to myself, you know, just like a thought I had, I said, Jews are different than non-Jews when it comes to how we do something religious, Shabbos, or kosher. But when it comes to like regular things, like looking for an apartment, let's say, or finding a car, right? That's like a typical mundane act. Jews and non-Jews do it the same way. Then I realized, no, it's not true. It's not true. We're looking for an apartment, we look in a very different way than a non-Jew. You move into a new apartment, there's a Jewish way of doing that. There's the Jewish way how to get dressed, how to tie your shoes. And they're like, oh, please, can God get out of my life a little bit? The answer is no. The answer is, when it comes to mitzvahs, you're not distinguished because they don't have mitzvahs. So there's no way you distinguish yourself because you're just doing that. It's not an extra mitzvah. The mitzvah to distinguish yourself means that in regular matters, now I can do the mitzvah of being holy. That when it comes to regular mundane matters, typical things, I'm going into the park, taking a stroll, it's a Jewish way of doing it. For example, you know, looking up for an opportunity to sanctify Hashem's name by behaving a proper way. They know you're Jewish, you know, and you do, you know, you bring your kippah and you do something kind and nice, you do respectful, you just done a way to sanctify God's name with a stroll in the park. And you fulfilled the mitzvah of being holy, because in here you're doing a thing that everyone does, but you're doing it in a distinguished way. So now you're fulfilling the mitzvah of being holy, because you're separating yourself in a proactive way. Because I'm doing a regular act, but I'm looking for a Jewish. I'm moving into my new home, but in a Jewish way, which is what do you do? The first thing you move in, do you move to your new house, is a Jewish thing. You know, the first thing you put into your new home should not be furniture. First thing should be is a charity box, some Jewish books. That's the first thing, a mezuzah. It's the first thing we do.
But even if we look at a family, we look at another thing. Big enough tiny room for Shabbos.
Oh wow!
Yeah, that's in searching for an apartment. Yeah. The commands of like a Torah ideal, but is it practical? How could a person be expected to conduct himself in a holy manner when he is involved in matters of this world? The question is especially pertinent during the era of exile, in doubled and redoubled darkness, when godliness is not evident. To this, the Torah answers, "For I, God, your Lord, am holy." Whenever the Jews find themselves, wherever the Jews find themselves, they are connected to Hashem, the one who said, "You are holy." This makes them also a holy nation, whose holiness can resemble the holiness of Hashem, blessed be He. The degree of influence that Hashem's holiness has on the Jewish people is illuminated by the Hasidic interpretation of the Medrash commentary on the verse, "You shall be holy for me, for I am God, am holy." Medrash explains, "Shall be holy. Can you be like me, God?" The verse says, "Since I am holy," meaning my holiness surpasses your holiness. The Hasidic thought interprets rhetorical question, "Can you be like me?" as a positive assertion, which means benichusa, which means you can be like me. How is that possible? Because I, God, am your Lord, I'm holy. We could be holy like God, because we are connected to Hashem. Now, what happens after you become holy? The next step is honoring your parents. How does that work? Chapter 3. The purpose of a Jew is not merely to be holy himself, but to establish a legacy of holiness. As stated regarding the first Jew, Avram, our patriarch, Avram Avinu, "For he will command his children and his household after him so they keep the way of Hashem." To emphasize the importance of transmitting one's values, the Torah includes a second command: "Each person shall revere his mother and his father," which alludes to the obligation of education. A child's first and primary educators are his mother and father. They must instill in their children the feeling they are different from the entire world, that they're members of a holy nation. The verse lists the two parents in this order, mother and father, with the mother mentioned first, because she is given primacy, since she is the mainstay of the home, Keres Abayis. And in practice, the main responsibility of educating the children lies in her hands. Yes, people claim Jewish religious people are more, you know, we do, you know, the man has the main role. That's not how we really look at Judaism. People who always ask the question, why are only men, you know, leadership position in the shul? My answer is, it's not about that. Your premise of your question is incorrect. The reason why you think that men have a more of an active role in Jewish life is because you think that Jews, like Christians, our religion only takes place in our synagogues. For Christians, all religion takes place is in a church. How does it affect their daily life? It doesn't. Right? It's about going to church. That's where you do your religious, you know, check-in weekly. In Judaism, that's not how it works. But if you look at it like that, then you're right that we're not fear and men have a more active role. But it's not the Jewish way of looking at things. Judaism happens at home more than in the synagogue. And therefore, synagogue is a small fraction. I would say 20-25% of Jewish life is synagogue. And therefore, there is a bigger role for men. But in the 75% of Jewish life, the woman has a much more active role. And here we see this. The most important fact of Jewish life is education. Legacy, teach your children. That is a mother's responsibility more than the father. But the point we're trying to bring out here is that you're, it's not enough just to be holy, but it's to instill in your children a sense of holiness. Chapter four. What's the third thing we said? Holy parents and Shabbos. Now comes Shabbos. On a practical level, how can parents educate their children and also themselves so that I and your people shall be distinguished? This question is answered by the third command. You shall observe my Shabboses. Shabbos is a sign between Hashem and the Jewish people. It highlights faith in Hashem's creation of the world and strengthens the certainty that Hashem is the creator of the world and continuously directs it. The realization distinguished the Jews from other people. Nations of the world claim God is a man of the earth, leaving the world to the control of the stars and constellations, the intermediaries that Hashem established within the natural order. By contrast, through their faith, the Jews are connected to Hashem, who is above nature. As such, they need not be concerned with natural forces. As it is written, do not be fearful at the signs of heaven, as the nations are fearful of them. The potential for the Jewish people to rise above nature comes as a result of the effect of the Shabbos over the 6 days of the week. In the account of creation, God named Elohim, which numerical equals nature, appears 32 times. By contrast, Shabbos is described as a Shabbos to Havaya, he who is and will be is simultaneously, to highlight that Shabbos is a day when we can appreciate God as he transcends nature. Let me finish. Shabbos was given specifically to the Jewish people and not to the nations of the world. Indeed, a non-Jew observes Shabbos is liable for death. The reason is that the non-Jews relate only to godliness as it manifests in the natural forces that control existence to Elohim, which numerically equals nature, and not to Hashem as he is transcendent as manifest on Shabbos to Havaya. Havaya is the higher name of a god. This is also the second allusion conveyed by Shabbos, the Exodus from Egypt, which reflects the transcendence of all constraints and limitations of nature. I want to pause for a second to understand this very well. You ready? Here we go. Every single term in time is a natural thing. The only term in time that's not natural is a week. Think about it. Tell me any term in time. A month, that's a term in time, right? The definition, you know what that is? That's a moon. A moon takes 29 and a half days. Oh, a year, that's a sun. Sun takes that amount of days, 365, to go around, make a cycle. A 24-hour day, that's the daily cycle of the sun and the moon. An hour is how we divide a 24-hour cycle that's totally dependent on the sun and moon cycle. That's how you came up with it. Every term in time is defined by something natural, either the sun or the moon or the stars, something in nature. A week has nothing to do with nature. What is 7 days? What is it? There's nothing. Nothing. Every 24 hours, the sun sets again. Every month, the moon, you know, waxes and wanes again. Every year, the sun is back at its start of its cycle. What happens every 7 days? There's nothing.
So like you can have a week that starts on Sunday. You can have a week that starts on Monday. You can have a week that starts on Saturday.
No. A Jewish week starts Sunday and ends on Shabbos. Right. But I'm saying the fact...
A secular week is starts on
fine.
Saturday.
Let them call what they want. But they say the point is the term why seven... What happens every 7 days? Nothing.
That's what's interesting is that like you said, it could be any.
Yeah, nothing stops. Nothing starts over. There's nothing there. Ask any person, if they want to be honest, where does the concept of a week come from? Only from the Bible, the Torah.
So even the Goyim.
If they want to be honest, it's only from the Torah. It's because in Torah it says that God created the world in 6 days. He rested on the seventh. That's how the word seven began. As a joke, why is everyone into 6-7? Because of this. Because God created the world at 6 and said it rested on the seventh. The observance of Shabbos inculcates an atmosphere of holiness within a home. By fulfilling the commandment, observe my Shabboses, we maintain the sign and connection between Yidden and God who is above nature. Similarly, this goal is achieved by strengthening our faith that Yidden are not subject to natural forces, but are protected solely through Hashem's individual divine providence. These two influences enable both ourselves and our children to fulfill the charge, you shall be holy, to bring holiness even into physical matters. It's possible because we possess firm faith that even the physical existence of Jews, B'nechemot Hashem, who says, I am one. Later in Torah reading is written, shall observe my Shabbos and revere my sanctuary. Connecting Shabbos to the sanctuary, by fulfilling the commandment, you shall observe my Shabbos, a Jew can transform every element of existence into a sanctuary dwelling for Hashem. In other words, like this, amen. These three things are connected. When you believe of Shabbos, that Hashem is above nature, and that's what we're connected to, and that's our true identity, then we're able to be distinguished even in regular mundane acts, and that's how we can give it to our children. But we have to remember, there's a way how Hashem runs the world in during the week, during the 6 days of the week, through nature, and then on Shabbos, it's a gift only to Yidden, the Jewish people, and it's above nature. So before I used the term, I said that the word 7 days a week is a Torah-based term. And then I joked, I said 6-7 is a Jewish thing. Why? Because within the week, there is the 6 and there is the 7. 6 is nature. That's when God creates the week of 6 days, all you see is the name Elohim, which is numerical value of the nature. Shabbos, that they associated with Hashem, which is above nature. God has two modes of operation. Just like we have our nature, what we're used to doing, and then we have our things, oh wow, how'd you do that? That's above nature. Hashem is the same way, we're made in God's image, so it's a mirror. Hashem must do it. And when Hashem does nature, it's Hashem's work, and then Hashem above nature, and that's how we're connected to above nature. So he's not defined by nature.